On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Derek Mendoza, the Seattle Mariners organization. Derek, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
All right, well, thanks for having me, Chris. A little bit about myself, background. I came from the private sector. So when I got out of college, I went and worked for a company that had contracts with high schools where we provided mostly their off-season and summer stuff, but we also did their in-season, some of their in-season programming, did that for about 5 years, and then had the opportunity to go run a sports performance facility. So I did that for a little over a year. And then I, shortly after, I got into professional baseball. So started out my journey to the role that I'm in. I'm currently the AAA strength conditioning coach with the Mariners, so the Tacoma Rainiers. This is my fourth year in AAA. I started off in the Dominican Republic, out in Boca Chica at our academy. We just opened up a brand new facility there. It's state of the art. At the time, it was probably the newest and best. And just an awesome, beautiful place, beautiful people. And so I was there for a year, under a year, but for one full season and some change instructs. And then went straight to AA, had the opportunity to go straight to AA, which at the time was Jackson, Tennessee. And the next year after that, I had the opportunity to move right up to, into AAA. And I've been there. This will be my fourth year now. So
you've run the gamut of different levels then.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically at AAA, and then I also help with nutrition, help with supplements, and kind of put together our little nutrition packet that we go by in the minor league. So
awesome. So what is your best professional baseball story that you have? Maybe something that you saw in the DR, or even, I mean, in AAA, there's crazy things that you see, or just best memory. What do you got?
There's so many different ones. You know, as you're going through day-to-day life with these, you know, young guys in the lower levels, and then old guys that are just like your age in the upper levels that have families, that have, you know, you see a lot of crazy stuff. But my favorite ones are always having to do with call-ups, surrounding call-ups. I had one recently this year that was really awesome to see. And it was a guy who had spent 10 years in the minor leagues, and this was his first year with us. And I got to know him, you know, fairly well in spring training, spent a lot of time with him, just a great guy. And had never got the call up. And this year, while we were in Round Rock, he got the call up. So I got to be in the meeting with the manager when he was telling him. And it's just, that's, in my opinion, that's kind of like what our role is like to help these guys get to that point. And so being able to see that and see the, first off, the reaction on his face, and then immediately turn to the emotion that he felt, you know, 10 years of putting in work. And he's finally getting to go to the big leagues, and he's still there. You know, they haven't, you know, he wasn't just up there and then sent back down. He's still up there, and he's doing fairly well. So, those are the things. Those are the things I live for. I love those things.
Yeah, I had seen it a little bit in AA my few years there. They had called a couple guys, but they were like high priority prospect guys that you kind of knew were going to get a shot, and you had heard the rumors and the rumblings, and then this is my first year in AAA, and it's like some guys are just out of the blue. It's like, hey, we're going to call this guy up, and you're like, oh, that's so awesome. Like, and then you see that guy, and he's, you know, FaceTiming his wife and his family and his grandma and his grandpa and everybody, and you're like, dude, this is the coolest thing, man. Like, this guy's living out his dream, and it's just awesome to see. So I'm in that same boat, man.
Yeah, you almost feel like it's like you getting called up, or, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah, you just get so excited for the guy, and you know the work that they've put in, and I'm sure the guy that you're talking about with 10 years in the minors is even better because he had been grinding it out for so long and finally got a shot.
Exactly, and I'm sure that the thought of quitting, it crossed his mind, like, hey, I'm never going to, you know, and so just to finally see the fruition of all the work you'd put in is just awesome.
Yeah, it definitely is a really cool experience. So one of the big reasons I wanted to have you on, I follow you on Instagram, and you're always posting a lot of good stuff, and you've got, you know, a couple series on there, the 15 days of shoulder health and the 30 days of hip health. And I kind of just want to go into general discussion about that, you know, the purpose behind doing that and maybe the target audience and maybe key takeaways or whatever. I'm just going to give you the floor and let you run with it about it.
Yeah, perfect. So originally why I started these were I get, you know, I have a lot of friends back home. I have a lot of contacts and just I get a lot of questions about, you know, like different exercises, different this, different that. And most of them revolve around the hip and shoulder. Or if they don't, it's something that I know if we get their hip or their shoulder taken care of, we can probably help whatever that is bothering them or whatever, you know, limitation they're having. So in the beginning, it was kind of like just to be able to help people, to provide value. But most importantly, I started listening to a podcast a while back. It's called Bored to Impact. And it's I just want to make an impact. And so I want to provide value for people however I can. And that's one of the ways that I've seen that I can do it. And it's at some points it's hard because I kind of have to make things more in layman's terms and I have to reread my description, but it's made me a better coach as well because I have to think out what I'm about to say or how I'm about to say it. And so basically it's just to provide value and to have a little bit of impact in a little area that I feel like I know something about, you know, so.
Yeah, for sure. The strength coach always gets those questions from everywhere. You know, we were on our first flight and somebody's like, are you guys a baseball team? Like, yeah, I'm one of the coaches on the staff or whatever. And, oh, what do you do? I'm a strength coach. Oh, I have this shoulder issue.
Exactly.
And I figure you could clean it up. How does it look? And it, usually it's like something that requires a doctor because it's bleeding profusely or something extreme like that. But
a trainer or a doctor, that's not quite in our expertise. Yeah.
Right. I'm just going to just put them towards your Instagram post. Hey, just follow this guy. He's got
Send him on over.
He's got it figured out for you. Is there anything that, you know, whether listeners end up checking it out or not, any key points that you want to hammer? Maybe this might be the best drill or mobility or whatever that you need to do.
No, I think overall the message is like, in my opinion, I think if you can get guys to move better, overall they're going to feel better. So I used to be on the other side of things coming into as a strength coach, and I worked with a lot of football guys. I kind of had that, for lack of a better term, like that meathead mentality where it was just like, just get in the weight room, let's just crush. And as you see, I kind of, when I got into baseball, I was humbled really quickly because I knew that I knew a good amount. What I considered was my expertise was off-season programming. And now we're in season and you have, you know, guys that are playing every single day and you have to completely think differently. And so that I slowly started moving towards the, like, if we just get these guys moving better, moving every day, moving through these certain, you know, whether it's through the shoulder joint, through the hip joint, just moving and at their end ranges, then it's going to be, long term, it's going to be way better than smashing them with weights all the time. It doesn't mean I've lost that, you know, that meathead that I still want to get in there and I want to crush it. But we also have to think about what's best for the athlete. So,
yeah, once a meathead, always a meathead, at least in some capacity. And I've seen your posts of you lifting and everything, so I know you are still a meathead. You're not just a movement only guy.
Exactly.
But yeah, baseball really will do that to you, and it's a different ball game here. No, I mean, no pun intended, but these guys are playing every day, and when they're not and it's a travel day, that's your off day. You're traveling, so they're getting stiff anyways.
And you're sitting in a plane. I know for you guys in the independent league it's a little different. You guys are on a bus, so which might be even worse because you're sitting down the whole time. With us, it's on the PCL side, and it's flights. We fly everywhere. We're the furthest northwest. A lot of our flights are connectors. So we may have a 7 p.m. game, and then we have to wake up and at 3 a.m. to leave the field by 4 a.m. to leave on a 6 a.m. flight that has a connector that, you know. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. So if we can just get these guys moving, we don't have to worry about crushing weight that next day. Let's get them moving. Let's get them moving around and get them ready to play.
Yeah, we actually have a long road trip coming up, and we have our first day of flight coming up, actually tomorrow, first day of flight, and then we have another day of flight later in the road trip. So we're going to be in that same boat of just, we haven't done it yet, but it's, I can only imagine how it's going to end up being when guys get to the field and it's like, hey, you want to lift? Absolutely not.
No.
So in the future, I know you've done the shoulder, you've done the hip. Are there any other future ones coming out for you? You're just going to keep pounding at these ones?
I think what I'm going to do is with this, what I kept finding myself having to do was put it more, like I said, in basic terms, because I get bogged down on using words that we're used to. And that doesn't necessarily, a lot of people don't understand that because they're not in our field. So what I would like to do is start getting in more detail about certain things that I like to do within the shoulder, hip, and maybe add some other things, but whether it's talking about, you know, some FRC stuff or the, you know, Pell's rails and why end range control and end range work is important and things like that. So I think that's probably where I'll head. And you never know, once you get, you know, to a certain point, you might be like, you know, other people might be asking you other stuff and I may lead down another direction, but that's kind of where I'm headed right now.
Yeah. Is that kind of where your influence is coming from with these, is the FRC stuff, or is there
for
kind
sure
of just other things as well? That's the big one.
For sure. 100%. Most of them, are coming from, you know, the FRC background I have now and just the movement based system. You know, a lot of, some of them aren't, but, for the most part, yeah, that's where the, where I'm getting the influence from. That's where I'm getting those.
Yeah, I think my off season, I'm going to dive into FRC more. It's come up a number of times on the podcast, and I've glanced through it, you know, and I know the basics of it, but I really, really want to dive in further into it in the off season. I think it's just useful for us, especially in season professional baseball.
Heck yeah, I definitely recommend it. That would be, I mean, one of the best continuing educations I've ever done, for sure. And I did that and the Kin Stretch together, and those two just kind of blew my mind. And it's been, I would say it's probably been 4 or 5 years since we took the course. We actually brought Dr. Andrew Ospina and Dewey Nelson in to do it. And it's been 4 or 5 years, and there's still concepts that are, I'm still learning more in detail about the concepts. So, it's never anything you ever master. It's just, you know, continuing to learn and apply it. That's the big thing, is applying it. You know, for the first year, I was a little like worried to apply, like, what if I do it wrong? Or what if you didn't? And then, you know, as you go on, you just like, you just fail forward, just continue to do it. You fail, you'll figure out another way to do it and you just get better. So.
Yeah, right on, man. I'm looking forward to diving into it when I have a lot more free time and, but yeah, so what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
I don't know if it's maybe people think I'm crazy, but I know people may think another way. Is that, I think for the most part, lots of supplements are trash, not very good. And I believe that sleep is the most important supplement. Especially over the last 4 years, that with all the traveling we do, I mean, on average, we're probably traveling every 4 days. And I know there's multiple times throughout the season where I feel like absolute crap and I don't have to go play a game. And so you see these guys in the morning at 5, 6 a.m. at the airport, and they're just like, you can tell they're just so sleep deprived. And somehow, some way, 7 p.m., they're ready to go, you know. So, I've read a really interesting book. It's called Why We Sleep by Dr. Matthew Walker, I believe. And it really, really opened my eyes to, you know, the research-based aspect of it as well, but just everything that happens in the sleep cycle and why it's so important and how bad it can be if you don't get enough of it. So that's probably one of them. Sleep is the most important supplement to me, even though it doesn't sound like a supplement, but most supplements are crap. Now there are lots of really good ones, but most of them are not.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm actually reading that book now. I'm a couple chapters in, but it's great, really, really interesting. And he was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and that's kind
of
where
the first time I heard of him.
Yeah,
that's the first time I heard of him. Yeah,
that was,
and it's
such
awesome
a good
because,
episode.
it seems like when I first started reading, I'm like, a book about sleep, like, is going to be so boring, you know? And he does a really good job. He's super smart, but he does a really good job of, like, right when it starts to get a little bit boring and you're getting a little uninterested, then bam, he hits you with something that's like, oh, wow, I didn't know this, and then goes into detail. So he does a really good job about that.
Exactly. And I'm also in the same boat with the supplements thing. Guys come all the time, hey, what supplement can I take? What supplement can I take? I'm like, how'd you sleep last night? Well, I didn't sleep great. That's why I need the supplement. It's like, yeah, you're just digging yourself a hole, man. You're not sleeping, and then you're caffeine to the gills, and it's like, just this is not a good cycle for you. Let's get to the root cause first and get you some good sleep.
Exactly. And that's the other problem is, like, we have a lot of guys, you know, we play night games most of the time, and we have guys that are taking, you know, the P4s and the C4s that have the crazy amount of caffeine and things that are keeping them up. So what I've slowly tried to get some of my guys to do is take some beta alanine, you know, just to get that feeling that they like, that itchy feeling without the caffeine, so they can actually sleep at night. And it's worked for a few guys. There's still a few guys aren't bought in, but you know, I have guys try to mix them together and lower their dose a little bit and slowly try to get them there. But I think that's a great way, because I know there's a lot of guys that just like that itchy feeling, you know, that so beta alanine takes care of that for them. And so if I can get them off a little bit of the caffeine and the stuff that's going to keep them up at night and get a little better sleep, then I'm going to try what I can to do that, you know?
Yeah, you got to feel for relievers, man. They don't come in till the seventh, eighth, ninth inning. It's 10, 10:30 at night. They got to get up to pitch in a game that's, you know, 10-1, and it's like, I just got to get three outs and get us through. And they're like, all right, well, I got to take some P4 to get me going for this. And next thing you know, they're like, dude, I didn't fall asleep till 5 last night. And I'm like,
exactly. I got 4 hours of sleep last night.
Like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that.
Exactly. It's just terrible.
So I like the beta alanine, you know, idea. I really like that. I hadn't heard anybody say that, and I mean, it makes sense. They really do. They're like, dude, I just need something with the tingles. Like, you know, this gives me the tingles. Like, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So what do you think makes a strength and conditioning coach successful, maybe in general and then more specifically in professional baseball?
Basically, that strength and conditioning coach in general is just understanding that you can learn from anybody or any situation, really. You got to be adaptable, and you got to learn how to, in baseball specifically, you have to be able to learn how to read players' body language and their mannerisms. And but I think overall the biggest thing is to be consistent with your attitude. You're the guy that players come to probably the most. You're going to get, guys are going to tell you things that they would never tell, you know, their position coaches or the manager. And if they see that your highs are too high or your lows are too low, they're not going to trust you, and they're not going to want to tell you things that you might overreact or underreact to, or might not, you know, give them the response they want. That doesn't mean you give them the response they want, but you have to be able to fill them out and have that consistent attitude every day, so they know that, hey, every single day I come in, all these other 24 players besides myself, they may be pissed off, they may have this attitude, but when I come in the weight room or when I come talk to Coach Mendoza or D, I know he's going to be the same guy. And that's one of the things I think is invaluable in this profession.
One of the biggest compliments that I've ever received is from one of our players. He said, the thing I like about you the most and the thing I hate about you the most is that you're always the same guy. You're always the same guy. I know exactly what I'm going to get from you, so I love it, but I hate it because I can never get you rattled because it's always the same every day.
The same here.
And I was
perfect.
Like, man, that's, you know, for me, that's awesome. And then, like,
that's,
you said,
quite
you,
the compliment.
Yeah, it really is. You have to provide a consistent presence, because if they look to you as that guy that I need to tell this guy something, and you're just even if you have a one-off day and they're like, wait a minute, what's going on with this guy today? Like, maybe I can't trust him. I didn't.
Exactly.
It goes so far. And then, like you said, you have to be able to feel guys out. You have to read them. I've had guys come in and they're like, how'd you know I was going to do that? Like, I know how you are. I've been around you for five
every
months.
Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So, no, that's really, really good, man. Do you have any other advice to make others successful, maybe young guys coming up or even older coaches that have been around a while? Just any other advice that you can give?
and just have a teachable spirit. Be willing and open to learn from anybody and anything. Like I said, when I first got into the industry, or not in the industry, into baseball, like I was humbled really quickly because, and it was a shot to my pride, you know, because I, as a young guy, you always kind of think you're right on the edge of having everything figured out. And, as I've gotten older, I've learned that, man, I'm nowhere near having it figured out. But at the same time, I was humbled really in my first year, thinking I was, you know, I was great at off-season work. And I thought, oh, in-season will be a breeze, you know. And so many things that you just don't know that come with experience. You don't, nobody can teach you these things. Now, they can kind of guide you and give you some advice. But until you're in that situation, you just don't, you don't know. So you don't have it all figured out. And you just got to have that teachable spirit.
Yeah, especially in this game, man. It's day-to-day. You never know what you're going to see. I mean, it's my first year in AAA, and this is probably the most fun I've had because you just never know what you're going to get when you get to the yard. Like, you're just exactly. coming like, man, I cannot wait to see what happens today.
It's such a different level because you have guys who have made millions of dollars that are coming up and down. You've had guys that are so hungry to get there that haven't gotten there yet. And then you have the mix of guys who are maybe lifers in AAA that may get a call up every now and then. So you have a mix of every single thing that you would see. And guys with married with families that act a little differently than the guys who are young and single. And, you know, and so you get to see some, it's an awesome time to be, you know, be able to interact with all these guys and see all the interesting things that happen in everybody else's lives. And you're all in it together at the same time, which is weird, you know? So it's awesome. I'm the same way. I love getting to the yard and just like, and what's going on today? What knucklehead did something last night that they're going to talk about, or what, you know?
It's awesome. Man, if you could write a book about, you exactly. know what I mean? The summer of 19, what happened here? Yeah. No, but dude, I like talking to my wife the other day, and we had an event with the team, and I was like, man, there's a bunch of little, you know, baseball babies running around, and a lot of the baseball wives are pregnant, and she's so used to me being in AA the last few years where it's just younger guys. And she's like, is that normal in baseball? And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, this is all older guys here. Like, these are adults now. Like, they're married. They have kids, financially stable. Like, this is different in AA. And she's like, oh, I guess I didn't realize it. So it just makes it more fun, man.
Exactly. That's a big jump. Like, you're still doing a whole lot of the, like, the biggest difference I saw between AA and AAA was in AA, I was still doing big time, like in-depth coaching and I don't, for lack of better words, like kind of like babysitting, like, hey, you need to get to the gym. You need to do this. Make sure, why haven't you gotten your workout? And why haven't, and then now you go to AAA and you're dealing with men who have other priorities too. And their bodies are a little older. They have a consistent routine. They know what makes their body feel a little different. They know, you know, they're more in tune with their body. So you're working around a lot of other things, but at the same time, you have a guy that knows what he's trying to accomplish most of the time, which is makes our jobs easier. And then you just look for the little things. What's the little thing that I can do to make this guy better today? Or what's the little thing that I can change that will help this guy feel better tomorrow? You know, so.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. I'll be in the weight room and guys will just come in, they'll grab their workout card, they'll get to work, and you know, if I see something, I'll make an adjustment. And if not, it's just, sometimes it's just hands off. Let the guy run with it, and he knows what he's going to do. And he just, hey, can you help me with this? Yeah, sure. No problem. You need help? No, I got it. I'm good. I'm running through this today. So that's, like you said, it's one level, but it really is a big jump in terms of maturity of the players and age, and the bodies are a little older, like you said, and guys have their routines a little more down. So it's a small jump, but it's a big jump.
For sure.
So I don't want to take too much time from your off day, but if you have time for me, I'd like to do a lightning round. Are you in?
Perfect. Plenty of time. Yeah.
Cool. First question, biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning, who is it?
Ooh. I have two really big ones. I would say in professional baseball, it's definitely my coordinator, Rob Fumagalli. I think I was his first hire as a coordinator, but he took a chance on me, but not just that. I didn't have the in-season baseball background. You know, I was an off-season guy, came from the private sector, and you know how that doesn't really mesh all the time. But most importantly, I don't even think he knows this, but what I did over the first couple of years was, number one, I want to know who's going to lead me. I want to know what type of person it is. I want to know how he treats people. So for the first couple of years, I really just sat back and just watched how he treated people, watched how he interacted with people and with people. And he's one of the best guys that I've found. He's this gritty, tough guy from Chicago area, but this guy can talk to anybody. He can find something that he can relate to anybody with, and he just makes everybody feel comfortable. And so he's definitely one of my biggest influences in professional baseball, not just because he's taught me some stuff, about baseball. And he's never a guy that makes you feel dumb. So you may say something really dumb, and he's going to, in a good way, he may joke with you and laugh at you a little bit, but he's going to give you, the real answer, the real reason, and he's going to do it graciously. So I've always appreciated him about that. I consider him a good friend. So in baseball, it would be him. And then in general, in the strength conditioning industry, I had the opportunity to work for a guy for 5 years in the private sector that runs a company, a strength conditioning company. He has an extensive background. He knows everybody in the area. He knows a lot of the college professional coaches. But the thing he did was he gave me a glimpse of the business side as well, and why things have to work the way they work. So I learned so much more than just strength and conditioning. Like the stuff that I learned when I was with him, the basis of a lot of the things that I do now, I still revert back to the stuff I learned from him and his company. And so, Geno Pierce is a guy I really learned a lot from, not only the strength and conditioning side, but the business side of the strength and conditioning industry. And, how to communicate and how relationships are really important, and just to make sure you're nurturing those relationships and always, always kind of say yes, even if you don't have a plan of how you're going to do it, just say yes and you'll figure it out later. It's easy to say yes, and then you put the work in and you figure it out. So yeah, those are definitely my two mentors or two guys that I've looked up to.
Right on, man. Yeah. One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
Easy, barbell.
Right on. Biggest accomplishment. Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Professionally, and it wasn't necessarily in professional baseball, it was in winter ball. So I had the opportunity to work in Venezuela 4 years ago, I believe. And the team that I was with, we ended up winning it, winning the whole thing. I don't know if you know anything about winter ball in Venezuela, but it is unbelievable. The way the fans interact at the game, the way the entertainment they have in game and cheerleaders and mascots and just all these things. It's a beautiful country. The people there are awesome. They talk to you like they've known you forever. It's just a shame what's going on there, but it was just great to be able to win that, and the way just little things like bunting a guy over, here in America, you go to a game, some people understand it. Some people are like, why are you clapping? He got thrown out. And in Venezuela, that happens. The crowd's going wild because they know what happened, so it was crazy. The night that we won it, I was in Maracay. That was where our team was, but we played 45 minutes away in Valencia. And that's where we end up winning it. So we played a night game. We celebrated for a couple hours. It was awesome. Then we're coming back to Maracay, and this is like, I don't know, maybe 2 a.m. And when we get to about 10 miles out, there's just lines of cars. And they take us to this plaza that just has thousands and thousands of people. And they just have these chants. And it was just unbelievable to see how important baseball was to that city, to that country. And just, it was a great experience. I loved it. So that was professionally. And then personally, the best personal experience, this is going to be a little different angle. So I played college football. And when I first came in, had the opportunity to play, I went from being the biggest, the fastest, and the strongest at my 4A school in Texas, and got to college and realized that I was just another guy. And so something happened. I ended up getting hurt. I'm going to tell the story and then I'll go and tell us a couple of backstories. But I ended up getting hurt. I hurt my knee one day and I didn't know how serious it was. We'd been practicing for a couple of weeks in spring. It was in spring football. I'd been practicing for a couple of weeks. I hurt my knee and it swelled up really bad. So I didn't know. I thought it was really bad. Ended up not being that bad. But I remember wanting to quit. I'm like, man, this is the perfect opportunity to quit. Like all these things are lining up. Like all these things had already gone wrong. And this is the perfect opportunity to quit. So I called my mom and I didn't have the guts to tell her, but I told her I hurt my knee and she did the same thing, you know, any mother, good mother does. She gives you that unconditional love. She comforts you, whatever. So then after that day, I'd kind of sat in the parking lot after I talked to her for about 30 minutes. I mean, I don't know how long it was, but I sat in the parking lot. I just remember thinking like, This is a perfect opportunity. I'm not as good as I thought it was. We had practiced a couple of days, and we had practiced for a few days. Then I went into we had our linebackers meeting. I played middle and weak side linebacker, and the coach had put a depth chart up. And I don't remember exactly how many people we had. I think it was like total linebackers. Nobody had been cut yet. It was like 14 or 17 or 21 linebackers. But I remember my name was at the very bottom. And I thought that confirmed even more the fear that I had that like, I'm not as good as I thought I was. And now the coaches know that I'm not as good as they thought I was, or I thought I was. And so all these little things, this is different. I've never been away from home. You know, I came to a big city right outside of Dallas, and I came from a town that has 15,000 people. And so all these little things are just like, oh, that was the perfect opportunity for me to quit. And so that day in the parking lot, I kind of talked through it and I was like, you know, I'm going to give myself the night to think about it. And when I make my decision, I gave myself two ways. I said, number one, if I quit, you know, I have an out. Like, hey, I got hurt, you know, man, I played college football, but then I got hurt and that kept me out. Same one a lot of people use, you know. And the second one was, if I don't quit, I'm not even going to give myself the option to quit. I don't care if I don't play a snap, I'm not going to give myself the option to quit. And luckily, the next morning, after a good night's rest, the best supplement in the world, I woke up and I thought a little more logically. I said, this is what I've been working for my entire career, like high school. This is what I always wanted to do. I want to play in the NFL, but I want to play college football. And I made the decision to stick with it. And just to say it's worked out. I mean, that next year, we opened up with the University of Texas, and I was number two in the depth chart in both weak side and middle linebacker. Our middle linebacker went down, and I jumped right in there, and the rest is history. I ended up starting four of the majority of the games over the next 4 years. And so that's one of my best experiences, because that helped build the character that I have now. And I'm a firm believer that when you give yourself the option to quit, and the more you quit, once you quit, it makes it so much easier to quit each time after. And so when I didn't give myself the option, after I committed and said, I'm not going to quit, I said, I don't care what happens for the next 4 years. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. I'm not going to quit. And so that's my best personal experience because of that and what it taught me, not because it was good at the time. I thought that was the worst thing, you know, but that was just one of my best personal experiences.
Yeah. I'm sure looking back on it, it has paid dividends for you over and over and over again. And just, hey, if I could get through that situation, I can get through anything. And this is, you know, hey, today's a small bump in the road, but I'm just going to keep going forward because I already know how to do that.
Exactly.
And then Venezuelan winter ball. I've never been, but I've heard enough stories that I know. I know it gets crazy there.
Oh, it's unbelievable. What a beautiful country. What a beautiful people. It's just sad what's going on there. But yeah, it was an awesome experience.
Yeah, I've heard from everybody that's been that it really is an awesome experience, and that the country's beautiful. All the things that you're saying, I've heard from many people. So last question for me, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
I'd be a coach. I'd probably be a football coach. And I didn't think that after, you know, after playing college football, I was like, man, I don't want to teach the X's and O's. I want to teach how, you know, guys, how to get better, how to get bigger, faster, and stronger. But I guess if I wasn't in strength conditioning, it would probably be coaching, teaching, maybe not in a classroom. It's not my thing, but coaching.
Yeah, we all have it in us, whether it's in the weight room or on the field or in a classroom or whatever. It's all relatively the same. We're coaching, we're teaching, we're helping others, and it's just in our blood.
For sure, for sure.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. If the listeners want to get in touch with you, where can we get more? Is social media the best place, or are there other places we can get in touch?
Yeah, I mean, I have an Instagram. I really don't do much else. I have a Facebook, but Instagram is probably the best. It's just at Find Your Prime, and then just through email, dmendoza@mariners.com.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you coming on again, and we'll be talking soon, man.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. That concludes this episode with Derek. I hope you enjoyed this one. We touched on a lot of different topics and had a lot of good information shared, and I would highly recommend checking out both his hip and shoulder health series on Instagram. Three things that I took from Derek in this episode: be adaptable, have a teachable spirit, and be consistent with your attitude. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.